What's good, Desi Hip Hop fam? You are tuned in to the Unfiltered Podcast, live on YouTube, Facebook, and now live on Twitch as well. By the way, if you didn't know, this also streams everywhere that you can get podcasts on. So Spotify, Apple Music, Google Podcasts, just everywhere else. So come with it. Come listen to this thing. We're doing this every week. I am your host, DJ Raph, and I have a dope plan for today's episode. Today, we're hanging out with and talking to one of the most popular producers out of India. He's worked hard for years and earned himself a stellar reputation, becoming one of the most sought-after producers in the Desi hip-hop game, as well as the music industry as a whole. See, this guy produces all sorts of music, all sorts of genres, but in hip-hop, some of his most listened to tracks are songs that you've heard millions of times. You've heard it thousands of times, okay? Some of his biggest hits are Salam by Divine, you know, Nazy's Anede, also Nazy's 302 and 2014 from Nazy's latest album. He's produced the Gully Gang Cypher. He's produced D-Evil's latest release, Mumbai Darshan, and he's produced one of the dopest tracks off of the Shutdown EP, Gully Gang Shutdown EP, titled Flavors by MC Altaf, Saifan, and Sam Mohit. So today he's going to join us and show us his process, his way, and the way he produced Flavors. So I'm really excited to to introduce Karan Kanchan on the Unfiltered Podcast.
Yo, what's up?
Yeah.
Yo, how are you, man?
That's good, brother.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure being here. I've been like following your podcast. It's really amazing. It's like I'm
like, thank you, man.
Thank you for today.
Hell yeah, bro. I think you're cutting off a little bit, but that just might be the internet.
Now it's better.
Yeah, I think it's working better now. Okay, it's all good. It's all good, man. Thank you for being here, man. First off, how's your family during quarantine? How's everything going at home?
Everything's going good. God's grace. It's been fine. Staying at home, staying safe. And yeah, I'm really thankful. Right now, if I had been in this position, this lockdown position 2 years ago, it would have been a very difficult time for me. So I'm really thankful to God. I've been able to sit in a room, make music, even in this lockdown. So yeah, I'm really thankful for that. But yeah, everyone's safe, having good food at home. And yeah.
Wonderful.
So how about you, bro? How have you been doing?
Man, thank you for asking. I've been doing good. It's the same, working from home. But luckily, I'm very used to working from home and I prefer it. So for me, that's really good. I have my home.
It's similar for me. Mostly, yeah. I like work from home. And only during shows is when I actually go out and studio sessions sometimes. So yeah, it's pretty makes much... sense. The same.
Nice. So this year you put together your home studio, right? Was that this year or last year?
This year, February, it happened. So right, I started working on it from January. Yeah, honestly, it happened on the right time, or else I would have been scratching my head throughout the whole day in this lockdown.
Right. Yeah. And I like your setup, man. You got a whole nice, so dope room full of equipment, and you can do everything in there, right?
Thank you so much. That's sick. It's perfect for making music for me right now. It gives me zone. Yeah. It's giving me the vibe to work on music. So yeah.
Right. So let me ask you a question. With your home studio, did you set up everything, or did you work with others, or what was the whole process?
So this studio is very much DIY, but I took help of my brother Honey. He's a good friend of mine. We're brothers. He mixes all my tracks mostly, and so he is into studio building also, and also he has a lot of knowledge about acoustics. So I took his help. And he had the right people and right contacts also on how to execute this properly. So yeah, most of it is self-done only. It's not very We didn't hire any professional to do it, but it's like it's like my own project kind of thing.
Nice. Yeah, that's awesome. It's always best to do it yourself because
yeah, you then, get to learn a lot of stuff, dude, like doing it yourself.
Exactly. Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, you know, so this show, as you know, is you know, sort of like a game show sometimes, but we have multiple segments, you know. So I want to kick off today's episode with the first segment, Scavenger Hunt.
Okay, interesting.
So Scavenger Hunt, this segment of the show is where I ask our guest to share something from their room, from your house, from anywhere, something that has a story, something that we can share with the audience. So Karan, what do you have to share with us today?
So like I have a lot of things in front of me. I'm just thinking which one to choose. So like I'll go with this first. This is a Daruma doll. Like for those people who know me, like I'm very much like influenced with like Japanese classical music and Japanese culture. So I went to a Japanese fest once, which happened in Bombay, and that's where I found this doll, and I like came to know more about the story. So basically, this is like a wishing doll. It comes with both the eyes like plain white. So right now you can see I've marked one eye, right? So you basically make a wish and mark one eye, and you keep it somewhere in your like room where you can see it daily. And it's basically a symbol of like it is trying to tell you that focus on your goal with like it's trying to focus on your goal, and it's reminding you at the same time to focus on your goal. So so that's kind of the significance of it. And once your goal is achieved, you can draw the other eye. So as you see, like. The other eye is not drawn yet, so like it's kind of a daily motivation for me. So yeah, that's the story about this doll. Oh, Sammohit is here, by the way. Sammohit is here
from Flavor. Shout out to Sammohit. Thanks for joining. Also, shout out to all the other viewers. You know, commenting here. Shout out to all you guys. Jaskaran, Mayasur. Shout out to you guys. Awesome. Okay, cool. So, what do you want to share next? You know, usually we have many guests, so they share many things. So, but today it's you, so you can share as many things as you want.
Okay, all right, all right. So I have another thing, which is this plant. Ooh. It's a fake plant, of course, but like I like to keep it with me. It's like a, it's just like a thing which I like to see, like be around with. It makes me feel like home. So like whenever I'm going to like whenever we have writing camps, like Gully Gang writing camp, which we had in Goa, and the second one which we had in Lonavala. So I take this, if you see any photos from those things, this is right next to my table. So this like makes me feel like I'm at home. And yeah, it's just been a thing with me. Like it travels with me wherever I take my setup while making music.
That's sick, man. I love it. You know, I have a question. So, you know, I do notice that you have a lot of, you know, influence from Japanese culture and Asian culture as a whole. Can you tell me why? Like, did you grow up watching anime, or is that or what was it?
So a lot of people have an assumption that like probably it's anime, but honestly, I don't follow anime much at all. Like it's for me, it's been through Japanese classical music, actually. So I bumped across like random YouTube suggestions, and I started listening to this band called Wagaki Band. And that's basically a band which combines old classical Japanese sounds plus like rock and like metal influenced instruments and everything together. And it's something really different than whatever I've heard before. So I really got attached to that. And I'm also a big fan of like Japanese architecture. And it's just an amazing country. I know like whatever like I know about that country, I just can't wait to go there someday. And I really love the Japanese, like the shamisen, the koto, all the wagaki instruments. It like inspires me a lot. Like those sounds, like I have a like a, what do you say? I get inspiration out of those sounds. So like it's been that way. And nice. That's when I started doing my whole trap thing with Japanese sounds.
Nice.
And then I branched out to like the hip hop part as well.
Right. That makes sense. You know, in a previous episode, we had a rapper Big Deal from Northeast. And, you know, he's half Japanese, like his mom is Japanese. So, yeah, he shared some information, like some nice stories about Japan with us, too. I think that'll be sick. Even I want to go there, man. One day I want to go to Japan. It's, can't wait. It sounds amazing. Yeah. Man, that's awesome. Well, you know, I know that you make so many different types of music. You know, you mentioned a few over here already, but, you know, like I've heard your EDM, like trap stuff. I've heard your, you know, pop music. Recently, you released, you know, a pop song, Wonder, I believe.
Yes, with Ramya.
And, yeah, and so many hip hop songs, obviously. But, you know, what type of varieties do you like? Like, what's your preferable, like, genre of music?
So for me, I want to try out as many genres as possible, because when I started off, like making music, for me, it was more of like, I wanted to do something which is already out there, like whatever I thought it is cool, right? I didn't have the like sense, I didn't have anyone to guide me also at that time, because I started off when I was like 13, 14, I guess around like 2010 is the time when I just got introduced to like electronic music. Mm-hmm. And I got into the process, like production part. Like I just got curious. I started asking questions like, how would I make this sound? How would I do this? How would I do that? And so that was like my whole starting point. But at the same time, in the start, it was very much about like doing the things which is already out there, because I thought that was cool, right? It took so I was trying to follow like styles, of course, like whatever was out there. But later on, what I did was when I went to my first like concert is when a lot of things changed for me. And that concert was Major Lazer, Matt Decent Block Party, which happened in Bombay. And the whole lineup was like an international lineup, and all of them had very different sounds. And that's it happened in 2015 December. And that's when I realized, like, if I was on that stage, what will I be? I'll be known for, like, what kind of sound? Of like, probably something which you've already done before, like someone else has done before. Will that make sense to me as an artist? So I thought about it. So in 2016, I didn't release any music. I just spent the whole year trying as many genres as possible, just to learn also more about different styles, and also at the same time try to find what I'm comfortable with. So the whole year, I really enjoyed. I really enjoyed the whole process of learning new styles, and my sound bank started to like develop. So like right now I have samples from all kind of genres in my sound library, because I did that exercise in 2016, right? And after that, it's been like, when I started doing trap music, I was really enjoying it. Like, I was doing the whole Japanese trap music and like dubstep sounds. Right. But at the same time, I always had this thing, like whenever I heard any new music, I wanted to see how I could produce this. Like if I made this track, how would I do it? So like all these like questions which I had in my mind. So I started doing it. Like I thought, rather than just thinking, let me try to do it and learn out of it. So it's always been that for me, like to try out as many genres as possible. At the end of the day, I just don't want to be a DJ or like a trap artist. I want to be a better songwriter, a better music producer overall, like a like a Rick Rubin or a Max Martin kind of thing. Like that's my goal in my life. So yeah, that's pretty much it. That's why I like to try out many styles. And that's also awesome. I try to keep that thing with my hip hop beats also. If you notice, like none of my all the beats which are out yet, they don't have any much similarities in it. Like it's not more like the type beat section. I like to keep every beat different than each other, and I don't have a sound as specifically so that I can be like I can create variety. So that's been my goal throughout.
Right. Right. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, it takes
it out a little bit.
No, that's great. It, you know, it takes a lot of, you know, hard work to like try so many different varieties, and because it's a different kind of talent. You know, if you do the same thing every day, it doesn't require much growth, you know, but every time you do something different, it grows you. So that's awesome. I respect
like having information about different genres. You can like combine it in any way possible. Like combine. That's how I get those mashup ideas also, because I'm always thinking about like this sound. I know how to make this. This will go really good with this blend. So like I just try to put like different knowledge from other genres together and try to create something sometimes.
Right. That's awesome. Yeah, I really like your Instagram IGTV posts where you join different genres together and make something new. Like, it's some crazy. Yeah,
like Saturday Sample Days series. I'm going to come back with season two soon.
Hell yeah. That's amazing. Yeah, for those of the viewers who don't know about that, go follow Karan Kanchan Music at Karan Kanchan Music on Instagram, and you'll get so many new things. Like, it's crazy content, like crazy beats, crazy, crazy everything. So, yeah, go enjoy that. I want to give a quick shout out to all the, you know, comments coming in. Boy Melodic, thank you for being here. All rounder, Binod, thank you for being here. Harlan Beats, thank you for being here. Harlan Beats, and any producers, if you have any questions, drop them here today. We're gonna try to answer them. Can you scroll up to Neil? Like, he had a comment a little above. So I read a comment from Neil. Yeah, Neil asks, I know Karan plays PS, PlayStation. Yeah. What are your favorite games?
right now, I've been playing Warzone a lot. Like, it's a free game. And, like, a lot of my friends from Gully Gang also use that game. So, like, it's fun to play it with the friends. Also, my friend Karanik is here in the chat. I play with him as well. So, Warzone is the favorite game right now. But other than that, I really like story-based games a lot. Like, Red Dead Redemption 2 or something like any story-based game, like Life is Strange 2. So, like, I play that kind of games a lot. But right now, I've been playing a lot of Warzone.
Nice. How about Last of Us? Have you played that recently?
I haven't tried it yet. I want to try that. Like, I've heard only good things about it.
Yeah, it's got a great storyline. It's like a movie. It's like a very nice kick-ass movie. So
I'll check it out soon.
Hell yeah. Awesome, bro. Okay, so, you know, today our plan is to share, the story and the production and the process behind Flavors. Tell me a little bit, before we even get into that, tell me a little bit about your setup. Like, you know, as a producer, what software do you like? What do you like to use?
So I guess All Rounder also asked the same question. I use FL Studio, Fruity Loops, Image Line Fruity Loops. I've been using it since I started. So, like, I've been, like, very close. It has been really close to me. And other than that, I have a sound card, M-Audio M-Track 2X2, which is, like, a very, entry level sound card. It's pretty good for me. I have the Rocket 6 monitors. It's pretty good for this room. And other than that, that's the basic thing which I need for the output. Other than that, I have a Roland MIDI keyboard, a Machine Micro drum pad, but I don't actually use it while programming drums. I really like to draw them on my software. But also, other than that, I use the machine more on live shows. While touring with Nazy to play the air horns and all, it's, like, pretty effective. So, other than that, that's what I use it for. And other than that, yes, that's pretty much it. I use the MacBook, which runs Windows, because when I bought it, FL Studio was not available for Windows. So I thought it would be good to get MacBook back then, so that even if I had to move to Logic someday, I still have the option to switch. But, like, it never switched back to Logic or anything. I've been using Windows only.
Okay, that makes sense. And when you record rappers, do you, like, record here, like, with your mic, or do they do it somewhere else?
For now, like, only rough recordings we do here. We have never, like, used the recordings which I have done here for, like, a proper release. Because I have a basic microphone, this one. Samsung.
Okay, nice.
Other than that, so we just take like make rough takes here and then go to the studio and do the final recording. Vat Speed is asking, which mic do you use? I use Samson C01.
Mm-hmm. Okay, awesome. Well, that's sick. All right, that's awesome. I like all the comments that are coming in. Thank you guys for dropping all these comments. Keep them up, and we'll try to answer all of them if possible. All right, so let's share his screen. Let's see what you got here. All right, it looks hella busy. I love this.
Oh, it's just the half of it.
Oh shit, look at that. Nice, that's sick. Yeah. All right, cool.
It's actually pretty minimal on this track.
So tell me a little bit about the story of the song. Like, how did it come together?
So this happened somewhere around like last year, when Altaf was at my place. That time we didn't have the studio. My setup was back there, and we had a bed over here. So he was on the bed, and I was like making something, and I was just playing some sounds and making. I was trying the whole New York style of like a beat pattern, and trying to add some samples over it. And when I added this one sample, and I started messing around with it, and Altaf was like, "Oh, this sounds really cool," and he started writing. And once we did the rough like idea of the track, after a couple of weeks, we recorded one version with Altaf's vocals only, and then we played it out to the people in Gully Gang. So like later on, Altaf had Samoyed and Sefan hop on the track, and we because this song is very small but still has a lot of things going on, so we kept it short, but we kept it like interesting throughout the track. So that's how the whole story came about, like the track, and then we recorded it in properly in a studio. And yeah, about the track, this track, like the instrumental, I can say this was something new for me, of course, because I wanted to try that NY style beat kind of thing, the new school kind of a beat. And I actually got a really good response on this. So like I wasn't expecting it, but like when I check the comments on the track on YouTube, there's a lot of comments talking about the beat as well. So which usually doesn't happen, but like when people are talking about the producer also like on the track, so it really means a lot. Because and yeah, it's been interesting. The response has been really nice, and like it has found a very different kind of a fan base as well.
Nice. Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs off of the Shutdown
Thank you so
EP.
much.
Obviously, a lot of hits in that EP, but like this is one of the best for me. And when it first dropped, I was talking to DJ Limelight. We had a little Desi Hip Hop DJ Limelight thing that we were doing at the beginning of quarantine, where he would
Yeah.
give us his top three tracks every week.
Copy. I remember
Yeah.
that. I remember that.
And this was one of
Yeah.
his like first ones. He was
Yeah.
like, this has to go in. So he loved that shit too. That's
Thank you
awesome.
so much. Thank you so much. So
Man,
yeah, like I can show you the project. Like I can show you like the process, because usually I don't follow like a pattern of how I start to make a beat, but like I really like to like mess around with stuff and figure out a way to do it. So when this track came out, a lot of producers and a lot of people were asking me what was the main sound. So like if you hear that. So like this was the main lead throughout the track. Other than that, it's all rhythm, and the bass line. So I'm gonna reveal. Excuse me, one second. So I'm
Sure.
gonna reveal what that sound was. But
Yeah.
before that, I'll try to show you guys the beat part, and then
Sure.
go to that at the end, so
Sure.
that we have that. What do you say? That curiosity of how that was made. Yeah.
And so let me ask you a question. Did you start what did you start with the beat pattern or did you start with the sample?
I started with the beat pattern on this one
Okay.
because we just want I was just making a groove first and then trying to
Right.
find samples which would go on that. I didn't make
Nice.
the bass line, I just made the drum pattern. So
Okay.
drum pattern is pretty straightforward. A lot of people ask me why I put my drums directly on the playlist and not in a pattern window, but I really like to keep it this way because like it's easier for me to like it's just an habit for me. I know it's not the
Right.
conventional way, but yeah.
Sure.
So I'll
This is
show
your
you
way.
the yeah.
La famara si da base per Nei,
Sorry.
mere pa, ma che
So I'll take this part when the verse starts. So yeah. And feel free to ask me any questions, guys, if you have. It's a reversed orchestral loop. Okay. I told that in my story. You didn't have to like reveal it already. but anyways. So what I was saying, is the audio coming properly?
Yeah, it's coming properly.
All right.
Perfect.
So if you guys have any questions, let me know how. Okay. Well, like whenever you have a question, let me know.
Definitely.
Yeah. So this is like the basic drum like pattern which I went with the like standard hi-hat pattern. Not much going on here. It's just like a groove so that people can already get into it. Very straightforward kind of like beat. It's not nothing special going on here. But then added some rhythm to that, more rhythm to that, and then like small hi-hat sprinkles over here.
Sorry, Alexa, I'm not sure.
Why is Alexa stop? And like some small percussions, like this one.
This
like really small. Oh,
I like that.
It really helps. Yeah, it really goes well when it goes to the next part. So if you see, if I put this on now, so that gives a like nice short drum fill kind of a thing. So that's basically the drum pattern throughout the track, and it's like it's following the same rhythm, but it is a very upbeat kind of a pattern. So like it gives that bop. At the same time, it keeps the energy high throughout the track. That's like I went with it, like a simple, straightforward drum pattern. If you see, most of the good songs in like hip hop, like top songs, have very basic and very simple drum patterns. And I just tried to follow that style, maybe. And so once we had the drum going on, came the sample part, of course. I'll also show you some other stuff which is going on around the track. Which is like, so if you see, there's some chords in the start.
Ooh.
This is something you hear it in the back, like it's not that upfront.
Yeah.
And then these transitions. So if you hear it closely, it's like a solo. It helps like add like that tension and at the same time like transition to the next part. So that's like a very minimal project. Listen, there's not a lot of things going on, but the way like things are executed is interesting, I think, because this sample, this is the main sample of the song.
Okay.
Is the levels good?
The levels are really good. Yeah.
So this is what like holds the whole track together, and of course the bass line. I'll play the bass line.
Yeah, I like that bass line.
Thank you, bro. Thank you so much. It's a very simple. So like I was going for that when I started the project. I was going for the DJ Khaled kind of a bass, which was like very strong and like dun, dun, dun kind of a. So I had made a preset of that. I'll show you the preset on Serum. I made the bass on Serum. So here it is. If you hear this like this, it sounds a bit weird, right? So that's all happening because of the processing which I've added to it. So if I remove the processing. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
So this is more of that kind of a bass which was used in like what was that track with Justin Bieber? I'm the One.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I don't remember the melody though. Dun. Something like this.
Yeah. Nice.
So something where I don't remember the melody of it exactly, but that was the sound which I was going for. And then I added some processing. I didn't want it to sound the same way, of course, because that was more of like a chill kind of a zone. And I wanted this to be more aggressive. And I wanted it to sound different. So like what I did was I added some processing to it, which goes like this. So I just added a Camel Crusher compressor. Crushed it a bit. And then added a Serum FX, which basically allows me to add one more filter to it. Because I can only add one on the generator. And this is just like another one to add the reverb filter inside it. So this is what it gives it the new texture. So when I add it.
Oh, I see.
So it basically spreads out. It adds like a chorus feel to that bass. And it makes it sound totally different than what it was. So like this was the original thing. And now. You can hear the harmonics, right? That's how I like to play with the sound. And other than that, I added a limiter, a fruity limiter, just to sidechain with the kick drum, to give that bounce whenever the kick hits, the bass goes down and then gives that tight punch kind of effect. And then some basic EQing to like boost it up at some frequencies and create this dip near the vocal part so that whenever the rapper's vocal fits really good and with the track.
Nice.
So that's how the whole bass line is sounding like throughout the track. And
this is a really good information because even in the comment section, All Rounder is saying, never knew you can load Serum in FX channel too. Oh.
So you have to get the Serum FX bundle. So there's one Serum generator and then there's one other Serum FX which you can use to put it on your FX channel. It basically allows you to it's really interesting if you use it to its full potential. It's very it's crazy. It gets crazy because first thing, it allows you to if you send MIDI signal to Serum FX, you can actually make it do the LFOs and all inside the FX part. So it's interesting. Rather than just doing it in the generator part, you can do it on FX on the FX channel also. So basically, if you have a sound source which is a sample, and you want to use the LFOs which you use on Serum to control the any parameters, whatever you want inside Serum FX. So it is really sick to use Serum FX and run a MIDI signal through it. So what the MIDI signal does is basically gives you the time trigger, and you can make the LFOs inside it, and it will sound exactly like how you would do it with a generator. But at the same time, you can use random samples to mess around with. So Serum FX is really interesting, and if used properly, it can be used to make crazy stuff out of it.
Nice. That's awesome. That's really cool, man. Thanks for sharing. This is really cool. I really like this, sharing knowledge.
So this is just the baseline part. And other than that, honestly, please ask me any questions if you guys have, because this track is very straightforward. I just wanted to show you how the main synth, of course, which is this. This is the main part of the track. Yeah. So, what if I told you this sound, this is actually this sound. Are you ready to hear it?
Yes, please. Oh, shit.
So, this is what the original sound was. Wow. So, I'll show you guys how I did it. The first thing which I'll do is, make it unique so that can go back to the original form of it.
Wow.
So I'll have to reverse it because it's already reversed and it's connected to 11th channel. And I'll just take off all the effects on it so that you can hear it how it sounds originally. So yeah. So what my process for this was, first of all, time stretch it. Okay. So what I did was, when I Altaf was sitting in the room, I was just putting in the drums and everything. So if you sound, if you play this with the track, it sounds like this. One second, macros, switch smart disable. Sorry. It doesn't give you that vibe, right? It sounds like an ancient hip hop kind of a track.
It's a different song altogether.
Yeah, exactly. So what I really like to do with samples is all the producers who are here, I'd like to share this thing. First of all, straight up reverse it and you'll get something totally different out of this. So if you hear it now when it's reversed.
Okay. And that's reversed. That's just reversed.
Yeah, this is reversed because I had to do it because the sample is already reversed, so I had to reverse it again. That's why you see it that way. So what I did was I heard the whole thing. This is the thing, right? And I'm like, okay. And one more important thing when it comes to sampling is repetition, because if you hear something new, when it repeats, it gets logged into your brain. So I wanted to repeat it. So what I did was, I just chopped the first part of it. If you see this part. And then I looped it again.
Aha. Major keys, man. Major keys.
So this is like a continuous sounding sound. So still it was sounding very organic, if you say, because it's like a string instrument, right? Because with the whole new school vibe, I wanted something to sound very digital. And now making this, now comes the processing part where you can get crazy with and create anything out of anything. So like if the string sample can sound like this, you can imagine what all you can do with it. So the first thing which I did was like take it 12 semitones up, like one octave high. And it already sound with the time stretching off. So it basically adds that digital distortion to it. So if you listen to it now. Now it doesn't sound like a string, right? It sounds like something out of a computer, but it still has the human value, of playing the string, but at the same time, it added the digital distortion. So this is like a really good crossover between like the humanization of the sound and the digitalization of the sound. So that gives, I think that this created a melody which probably the guy who played the string wouldn't even have imagined about it. Because it's reversed and it's high pitched up. So this is how you can generate ideas out of something totally different. Whenever, like, if you think, like, I'm not getting inspiration, or if when you think there's a beat block going on, just start messing around with samples. It really helps. It actually helps me a lot, because so whenever I make a track, it's usually I'm jamming on sounds and I'll find that one piece of inspiration in that bit and then make the whole track around it. So it is not usually what I plan. Like if I plan that, I never plan like I want to make a track like this. It's more of like I'll start jamming on ideas. I'll mess around with samples. And then I get that one piece of inspiration in that process.
Right.
And I just take that inspiration out of it. And the rest, all of the thing which I did to get till that inspiration goes away. And the whole track's built upon that inspiration.
Right. So, that's awesome.
That's my personal kind of thing. So I really suggest all the producers to like mess around with samples. It's like a really good way to like come up with new stuff. So I'm still not done. So basically now what I do is I add the whole processing chain to it. So if you see here, the first straight up thing which I did was a radio kind of a filter thing. So if you, this was without it. This is with it. So it basically gives that lo-fi kind of a feel, because it has a I mean, like, it loses the higher harmonics and the lower harmonics,
right?
So what happens now is like I'm hearing the sound and I'm thinking it is still played like a very human thing. It's like a continuous thing. It's not, it doesn't have that pulse. So to add that pulse, I added a gate kind of thing, which is the kickstart plugin. So it basically adds the pulse to it. If you hear it closely, so this is without, so playing it without it, now playing it with it. So if you hear it, so it now, without the drums being played, you already have an idea of what the BPM will be of this track.
Right, that's the DJ in you slicing it.
Exactly. It's like so it gives me an idea of rhythm now to the sample. So a lot of people, like, even if you're using samples which is not in the BPM, you can make it feel like it's in the BPM or it's in the rhythm by adding a gate like this to it. So it gives you it's coming and going. It's coming and going at intervals. So these intervals is what makes you feel like, okay, yeah, there's a rhythm. Right. So I did that. And then to add more of that digital distortion feel, I added Fruity FX, which is the effector plugin which comes with FL Studio. It has a lo-fi kind of a thing which you can add, which is basically, it's basically like Redux. It reduces the bit rate and sample rate of it. And it makes it more like digital distorted kind of sound. So if I go ahead and put that on in between. So it adds that crunch to it, basically. So I was like, okay, this sounds interesting. And then just to boost it up a little bit more, what I did was, I'll take this down first or else it would be too loud. go to Camel Crusher and add a compression, basically. it's very slight. You won't notice it much, but it adds up to the, like, making it sound tighter.
Nice. Yeah.
And other than that, one more EQ to, like, just roll off the, like, low ends, because this is very important thing which I'd like to share to all the producers. Like, take off any frequencies. I've shared this many times, but I think so this is one of the most important things that has helped me in terms of making, like, a better mix. Just take out all the frequencies which you see here, like, till the point it doesn't affect the sound. Because what happens, even if I play this sound right now, if you see there is still some frequencies which are shining here, right?
Right.
Just take it off till the part it doesn't affect the tonality of your sound. Because what happens is, when these frequencies which are lying around in your track, in your sample, right? These frequency will add up with other frequencies from your chords, maybe from your bassline. And what happens is, when these frequencies add up, they create new tones. And these tones will only be heard to you when you play the whole track together. And you'll be confused that where is this new tone coming out from, which I never added in the track. So this happens basically because you're adding those frequencies which you are not even aware, because they are weak right now. Like, when you're soloing the sound and listening to it, it is pretty weak. It won't make it out through the speakers. But what happens is, these light frequencies add up with other light frequencies from other samples, other sounds. So these add up together and create tones. And these tones are only audible when you're hearing the whole mix. So when you hear the whole mix, you're thinking, why is my mix sounding so muddy? Or why is my mix sounding so cluttered? And you try to find out that sound, and you start soloing sounds, and you cannot hear anything, because right now you're hearing it soloed. So when you're hearing it soloed, you cannot hear the sound because it's not adding up. So it is very helpful to, like, just take those sound, those frequencies out of the mix as soon as you put it in, put the sample in or whatever. So what happens is, this creates a really good space for you. And this this removes the, like, what do you say? This removes the the clutter, or what do you call it?
The muddying.
Muddiness in the mix. So yeah, I think so this creates a really nice space for the song. And yeah, this is, like, one tip I'd like to share.
Yeah, that's awesome. And and that's really, like, a major key right there. You know what I mean? Like you mentioned, you've mentioned this before, but, like, that is something very important that most people aren't thinking. Most producers aren't thinking about this one. But it takes the talent.
I also learned from my seniors also. But, like, I think so this, once you understand the concept behind it, that why sound, like, behave this way, it's very easier to find out solutions in terms of, like, making songs or anything, like, or making anything. Once you know the reason behind it, just be curious and ask questions, and it will be, like, it is, like, the best way to learn anything, for me at least. Like, that's been the day one mantra, like, just be curious and ask questions.
Yeah, it's like, these are the things you figure out, you know, when you put in the time, you know, 10,000 hours, they say. But, you know, I think 10,000 hours is just a thing they say to have a high goal. But, like, if you get closer to those, thousands of hours working on anything, you will figure out all these little things that make it better. That's awesome. One question I have for you that a few commenters have commented on is, what are your go-to, you know, VSTs and plugins? I know you shared a lot of them already.
I'll share it. Right now, when it comes to generating sounds, I've been comfortable, like, with Serum a lot, because I've been using Serum for a long time, and it is a very versatile synth, and it's like a wavetable synth. It has additive, subtractive synthesis, everything inside it. So you can get crazy with it. You can even add images and turn it into wavetables and make sounds out of those images. So, like, it's very, very, like, interesting. The boundaries are limitless when it comes to Serum. And other than Serum, I use RAVST a lot. I'll pull it up right now. One second. So this plugin I use a lot for my, like, Indian sounds, or, like, Asian sound, like, Japanese sounds, or everything like that. So, like, it has a really good library. If you see, it'll let me pull up a Indian sitar sound, right? So, so it has a really nice like library. Very different sounds. Also, like what the Japanese sounds which I use, it comes under Far East.
Plug. Man, yeah, that sounded so crisp and nice. Sounded like there should be a Sufi singer right here. Started singing.
This is that Japanese.
Yes, I feel that.
So the transpose is on, that's why.
I instantly feel calm right now. I feel like I should meditate.
So yeah, this is another like plugin which I really like to use a lot. And other than that, FL Studio comes with the basic plugins also, which are really good. If you see the new FL Studio, the plugin is called Flex. I don't know why did they name it, but like it's called Flex. And it has a really good library. So if you see 808s, also a lot of people ask like how to get good 808s. This synthesizer, this is not a synthesizer as such, it's a sampler. It's like a sampler library kind of thing, but you have a lot of control. Like if you see all these parameters, you can change a lot of stuff. So you see.
Nice.
So like really good quality 808s, clean.
That's sick. Yeah. And like,
so a lot of stuff like that. And also it has a lot of like strings and all like.
Ooh. That already sounds fire, man. Just gotta say, you're not doing anything, but it sounds fire.
Yeah, the sounds are so good. That's why you can like. So like. So you can just like when the sounds are right, you're already in a vibe. So what happens is a lot of producers get stuck when they don't have good sound. Like if imagine if I start with this sound, I won't get that inspiration. I won't get that direction, right? Like, I mean, like it once, like if, once I start making something out of it, like if I go ahead and like change this up and go to the filter and like maybe turn. So until and unless I do all this stuff, it won't sound me. It won't sound that pleasing, right?
Right.
So it's really, really nice to have plugins and sounds which has like really good, like go-to sounds, right? Like start like as soon as you pull it up, you have these nice. So like, oh sorry, that was too high.
It's all good. Yeah,
it's distorting a bit because there's a lot of stuff going on in this project.
Yeah.
So
it's all good.
So when the sounds are like of high quality or like decent quality also, or it really helps the producer to get in the vibe. Like once you, that's why I ask all the producers to have a good sound library, because once you have the right sound, you don't have to spend much time finding the sound which you have in your head. Then it becomes very easy to like make something on spot.
Right.
So that's a very important point.
That's really cool. Yeah. I always felt like, Fruity Loops is a, excuse me. I always felt like with amateur producers, like who are new, Fruity Loops can sound very like not like real instruments or like, you know what I mean? It can sound very for new people. But then I've seen like real professionals like yourself who can make anything sound really cool on Fruity Loops and just as good as anything else in the market.
Actually, like I read about an article, like ImageLine as a company, the company which makes Fruity Loops, they started off Fruity Loops as a game, basically. They started off making this software as a game, and then it became the thing which it is today. And I think so, like with Fruity Loops, what I like about Fruity Loops is, I mean, it is very open. It doesn't set rules for you. Like if you open Logic, it automatically tells you that you have to put one track in track one and the other track in track two. Here, I can actually put a 100 things inside one track. I can do whatever I want. Like, I can put all the entire project into like one track, and nobody's gonna stop me. Nice. So like, and also FL is very, very open when it comes to like, like messing around with arrangement, or it is very straightforward, I guess. And right. one of the most powerful things which made FL what it is the step sequencer. This is like, you'll hardly find, like right now a lot of DAWs are making it, but this is what, this was the game changer. Like, if you see, like this whole step sequencer thing, the first time when I opened it up and I showed it to a friend who is not a musician, he says, this looks like how you book movie tickets. It looks like the seats while booking right. movie tickets. I mean, like, but stuff like this, which are like very straightforward and like, it makes FL so much better.
Right.
Yeah,
like
Harmin just said, we are here just playing games. Exactly, because the it is not very professional. The DAW is very like fun to work with, so it doesn't feel like you're working as such. And it feels more like, it's something fun. Yeah.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah, it's like FL Studio is like Android versus iPhone. You know, and Android is very open. You can do whatever you like. Well, that's interesting. That's really cool, man. while you're showing all this, can I ask you, like, what inspired you first, when you first started production? What made you interested in this?
So, like, for me, the introduction happened with when I heard my first electronic music track, as I mentioned before, which was around in 2010. The track was by Tiesto and Diplo, Come On. It was a very EDM track.
Hell yeah.
For me, so I never listened to much of like music before that. For me, it was only whatever I watched on TV, or we had a CD player at home. A lot of Hindi music was played at home. And I was not much like a fan of like listening or consuming music as much as like I am right now. But but back then it was more about just like whenever, like I used to listen to music whenever it was playing around me. I wouldn't go and listen to music. So I used to spend a lot of time in my school days on YouTube, and I used to spend a lot of time like learning about new stuff. I was into like HTML. Like my dad's a programmer, so like I always had that. I had a computer at my home at a really young age, and I'm really thankful for that. And like since I was 3 years, 4 years old, I was already like doing stuff on my computer. I was using MS Paint or something like that, something or else. So I was involved with technology for since the start, like with my computer, of course. So when I was just browsing on YouTube during 2010, there's one recommendation which used to pop up once again and again on YouTube, right? And I was looking at it. I was like, okay. And one day I finally decided, like 1 second decision, that okay, I'll check it out what it is. And that 1 second decision is why today I'm talking to you about music today. If I hadn't that selected that link, it have been a very different path for me. Maybe I wouldn't have never got into music, because that was the first track which I heard, which was the electronic track. The curiosity part kicked in at that time, because before that I only knew about piano as an instrument. I only knew about drums as an instrument. I only knew about guitar as an instrument.
Right.
I couldn't figure out how these electronic sounds are being made. I was very like confused about how, like when, like what is creating these sounds basically, right? So I started asking questions again and again, like how did they do this, and like what is this sound, and where is it coming out from? I also want to know how they make it. Then I came to know about that there's synthesizers, and then I did some more research, and then I came to know about like the softwares which you use to make music. And a guy who didn't used to listen to much music back then had like 200, 300 songs downloaded in a week, was like just like trying to figure out like how these sounds are being made. And like, I downloaded Virtual DJ. I started messing around with that, trying to put like loop kick drums from this track and snare from this track and try to make a beat and like some stuff like that. I was just messing around. I was just trying to figure out stuff. And that's when I bumped into like the software called FL Studio. And when I downloaded it for the first time, I was like, what is this? How do I like go about it? Because I was in like 8th or 9th grade, I guess, back then. And I was like, I didn't have anyone to ask these questions to. And also the most like the struggle part there was the thing, I didn't know what the terms are called. I didn't know what automation is like. Like, even if I wanted to learn about it, I couldn't go on YouTube and search because I didn't know what it is called at first place, because I didn't have any idea about these stuff. So the first year I just spent time clicking on everything, like all the buttons, all the knobs, which I found out, I just click on everything. And I used to like hunt for like tutorials on YouTube, because back in 2010, there was not a lot of like FL Studio tutorials out there. And right now it's like an ocean of tutorials. You can find a tutorial for anything. Anything right. and everything. But like back then it was very different.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I just kept asking questions. I just started figuring out stuff on my own. To figure out the automation part, it probably took me around the first 2 years to even know that you can automate stuff inside FL Studio. But that's also because I didn't have anyone to guide me. And right now, like, information is very easily available. I didn't have any of my friends who were doing music as well at back that time. So I started like copying like stuff from other people. Like, for me, I didn't know like what my sound is or anything at back then. So I just wanted to be like a Tiesto sound, like a track like which sounds like Tiesto or something like that. So my inspiration and everything came out from that first YouTube recommendation only. Nice. And later on, it grew with time. The maturity came in with time and the hours spent in making it. So I was always excited. Whenever I came back from school, I had like this two hour gap between coming back from school and going to my tuition classes. The first thing I'll do is run into my come to the computer and start making something, because I'd be thinking about it the whole day in the school. I'll do this. I can do this. Like, I literally have what in mind, like this melody. And I used to like memorize melodies also in school so that I don't forget when I get home. But usually I used to forget it back home by then. But it was really exciting at that time, because that was something new, because I had first time I felt like I had the power to create something create something from nothing. Basically, it's just like a software and I can make something and I can share it with people, and no one else was doing it in my school back then. So it was pretty cool for me to like do something like that. And those friends of course, like who support you in the start, like whatever you bring to them, even if it's the shittiest thing, they'll still say, oh yeah, this is cool, because it's new for them as well. Right. But, I've had the right people also. Like, I had a cousin who I don't meet much, but I met him online again on Facebook. He was pretty like straightforward with the feedback when it came to feedback. And he used to tell me that, no, this is not good. This is not that. And I used to like crib like, oh, bro, I'm just trying out stuff. Why are you saying stuff like this to me? And I was like, I used to like cry about it. Like, no, why are you like not appreciating it? I'm trying. I'm doing so much efforts. And he was straight up to me that nobody's gonna see your efforts on anything. Everyone's just gonna see the end product. And that really stuck with me. And I started taking feedback much more seriously. This is around like 2014. I'm talking about 2014, 2013. But after that, it's always been like a community thing with producers, where I always send out my music to producers first to get their feedback. And like, that's how I started learning.
Nice. Yeah, these are like the major keys to success on anything. You know, if I really think that's the way to succeed with anything that anybody's trying to do in their lives, you know, it first start off with some interest, some idea, some like, hey, maybe I should give this a shot. And then you went ahead and tried it out. You liked it. And then you fed that interest. You know, every day you fed it. You kept doing that. You kept doing it. You kept asking the right questions, Googling. And then you had like a nice group of friends who used to like inspire you. And then down the line, you have new group of friends who are all musicians. Now they give you advice and feedback, you know, and then you just keep going. You know, like it all started from interest. That's amazing.
You can only do something really good in your life if you have that dedication towards it, that curiosity towards it. Because I see a lot of people also get into it because they think it's flashy. Oh, this is something cool also, right? But like, if you don't keep that, as you said, if you don't keep feeding the interest, if you don't keep like developing what you can do, like how you can push your own limits, then you just get stuck over there. I think so. Like, it gets difficult.
Yeah, that's amazing. Man, you know, thank you for sharing all of this. And with this, with that song Flavors, do you want to share anything else from your screen, or are you good?
So yeah, I'll just show you like what else I did with that was basically throughout the track. The sample comes in the start, of course, and then to keep it interesting ahead, what I did was when the verse kicks in, I chopped the sample up. So it's like a chopped sample now.
Nice.
And it goes back to the full sample when the chorus kicks in. So that's what I have done, like the energy levels throughout the track. It's like the chorus and then the verse, chorus, verse, chorus. So I've played with the instruments like that. And if you hear one more sample, which I've added here, it's like this hi-hat.
Yeah.
This is before the chorus with the beat kicks in. So if you hear the whole thing. Oh, there's so much plugins on this. That's why I take a lot of load. Let me just take off this plugin. And this plugin. And this doesn't even matter, actually.
Lafa mara sida bass par nakli rapper huve bass mujhko pasand mera taste of flows mein variety public bole flavor lafa mara sida bass par
so when it goes back to the bass sound I have added this to bring up the interest, like excites, something intense is gonna come.
And then
of course this plays up throughout the track, so it keeps going back to that feeling. Oh, okay, something new kicked in. So if you see throughout the track, it comes at regular intervals. That that sound, it comes every 4 bars. So it tells you that you're going into a new part of the song. It tells you again. It reminds you again that you're going to a new part of the song.
Lafa mara sida flavor. Lafa mara sida bass par. Nakli rapper huye bass par. Mujhko pasand mera taste of flows mein variety.
And then there's one horn sample which comes in the
flavor. Lafa mara sida bass par.
And then there's this hi hat. If you hear it closely, I got the inspiration for this from the Money in the Grave track produced by Lil CC.
Lafa mara sida bass par.
I felt this was a very cool rhythm to add in between, so I added that.
Lafa mara sida bass par. Nakli rapper huye bass par on the beat. Mujhko pasand mera taste of flows mein variety.
And then the rappers of course killed it. So these are all the vocal stems. These are not the mixed vocal stems, so it would sound very different right now. Sure. So if you go on stream it on Shutdown EP, it will sound very, very much tighter together. Right now, this is like a session. I like to get my songs mixed by someone else because I do the basic mixing, basic leveling, of course, and processing. But for the final balance, the mastering, I prefer someone else doing it because it helps me get a better perspective also. Sure. And other than that, that's pretty much it. If you have any questions, please feel free to ask me about the beat. I'll show you, because it's very straightforward. It's literally one, two, three main samples sounds, and other than that, everything is drums.
Right.
There's this bass also. Once again.
Yeah.
Can you hear it?
Yeah, I can.
It's kind of a reezy kind of a bass, which comes during the.
Lafa mara sida bass par nakli rapper huye bass kare kare gang mujhko pasand mera taste of flows mein variety public bole flavor.
So someone asked you about your mixing workflow usually, as I told you, never mind. No, I do my mixing. I'm not saying that I don't do my mixing, but mixing wise, my workflow, I told a really important fact before this, which was the EQ stuff. Make sure you're EQing everything tight. Not about boosting or cutting frequency. I'm talking about the low cuts and high cuts wherever it's needed. Like wherever the frequencies are not needed, just clear it off. It adds a lot more difference. What's the difference between making the drum patterns on the playlist rather than sequencer? So it is, it's nothing specific as such, but if you notice, whenever you pull up a sound on your sequencer and whenever you pull up a sound on your playlist, the loudness is different. One thing which I noticed, because whenever you pull up the sound on the sampler, it on the sequencer, it opens up inside a sampler, and then the benefit which you have is like you can play with the attack decay and stuff like that. But with this, if you see, when I open the snare, you can only see this bar icon, right?
Right.
So I usually don't have to mess around much with the Harlin, there is a difference. I'll show you what the difference is. So you don't have to much don't have a lot to mess around with when it comes to direct samples. But when you go through a sampler, it allows you to do a lot of stuff. Like if you see here, I can play with the pitch. So like if this kick is already like this, I can do crazy stuff with this. And like this though was available on there also. I can filter the kick. It's basically like a sampler plugin which allows you to do stuff to your sample. But other than that, when it comes to the rhythm part, I think so this limits you to the 4x4 grid, right? So if you want to create triplets and all, of course, you'll have to go inside piano roll and do it, right? I go here and change it to 1x3 beats. And then again, you want to go back to the clap and you want to put the same thing here. You have to open so many boxes. You have to do so many things. Nice. Other than that, I prefer everything at one place. Right. I like my kick drums and everything at one place. So like if you see this, I only have to change... open it once, open the window once, and I can do changes here, or whatever I want. Like, so. And plus, I can hear everything together also at the same time. So, and if you see, I can go to a lot of detail also. So, like, if I want to do a triplet here. So like it's straight up. At the same time, I can go back to hi-hat. So like I can do a lot of stuff at one place rather than going into the piano roll and opening it up every time, everything. Mm. It just consumes a lot of time. It's just about the workflow, like whatever suits you, but this suits me. So like I've been doing that.
No, that's perfect. I love it, man. Thank you so much for sharing, bro. Like you shared so much more information than just the normal stuff. You know, you didn't just share the thing, details about the song, the beat. You went into further detail about everything. And, you know, that's what I appreciate so much, man. You know, knowledge is power.
I'm more than happy to share whatever I know. Like, I used to teach a lot of kids also, they're my age only. Right. But that's what I really, whenever I also taught, like, people who wanted to learn, I only taught the people who are really dedicated, like, I didn't charge them like the industry standard rates or anything. I charge them a minimal fees, but I just wanted to see if they're dedicated. So I'm more than happy to share my knowledge out there. Like whatever little I know, I'm more than happy to share it anytime.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, to the viewers, you know, we've had more than 1,000 people watching at a time on YouTube today. And, you know, all you guys who really enjoy what Karan Kanchan has been teaching and sharing with us, please go to his Instagram. He goes live. He shares the stuff all regularly. So, like, go follow him. Karan Kanchan Music. That's the thing to follow.
Mahi Beat has one question. Can I answer that quickly?
Yes, please.
Yo, Mahi Beats, a really good question. It is very important, actually. You can do a lot of stuff with it. Why I did that was basically, stereo separation is basically when you're listening to a sound, when the stereo separation is centered, like it's the original sample stereo separation. But what I like to play with it is like you can either go it towards mono, make it sound like in the center, or you can expand it towards left and right speakers. This is very important while creating... like the energy in the track. So what I do is whenever the chorus comes in, I make it wide so that, okay, people feel, okay, that's the chorus coming in. That's the whole, it sounds bigger during the chorus. And whenever the verse kicks in, I make it towards the center. So the focus is more on the verse now, not on the sounds. So it gives a lot, if you hear the track like in detail on Spotify or anywhere, you'll notice that it's a very slight thing, but it really makes a difference when you listen to the listening experience of the track. So if you see, that's what I've done throughout the track. If you see the stereo separation, wherever the verse kicks in, the stereo separation goes to center. And whenever the chorus comes in, the stereo separation is wider. So that's the automation. my beats. Nice.
Yeah, that's sick. Yeah, so basically
that only on the main sample. I don't do it on the drums or anything, just on the main sample of the track.
Right. That's perfect. Yeah. That does matter a lot, like especially when I listen to a lot of music in headphones, you know, when I'm working out or something, it like I can tell, you know, that's stereo separation I can understand very well. So that's amazing, bro. I love that. One question I wanted to ask you, and I've seen some comments on that, is like, how is it working with, you know, Divine from Gully Gang? You know, many people ask this question, so I was like, hey, let's go into that.
Yeah, 100%. Bro, like, he's one of the nicest guys I've met. Like, he was also one of the guys to push me to, like, get more into, like, hip-hop. I mean, He gave me the, like, what do you say, that support, right? Someone who you need, who tells you that, yeah, you are good at this and you should try more. That's someone, like, it is very important to have. And for me, like, Divine said that to me, and that, a lot of things changed from that. Because, honestly, there's a long story about that also, but I'm not sure if we have time. But, like, I'll
feel
try
free to share it. We don't, yeah. Yeah, this is not radio or TV, so fuck it. You know, you can just go ahead.
I mean, like, I just hope people don't get bored. It's like, I'll try to shorten it up a bit. But like, the first track which I ever made, like, which was in a desi hip hop kind of a zone, was the one which I made in 2016. It was during the same time when I was trying out different genres, is when one of my college mates gave me a hip hop sample pack. And I started messing around with it, and I made a beat. And I knew Spin Doctor pretty well back then. And Spin Doctor had just started playing with Gully Gang as their DJ. And once I was at Ashley Alvarez's place, and I was playing my song which I've been working on. And Spin Doctor was also there. And we go back to like 2013, 14, because we were playing gigs. Where, like, the 500 rupees gigs and all, like, way back, like, we're doing all the hustle together. So we started off kind of a similar zone. So he knew me, and he was doing really cool stuff. He was working with Gully Gang as the DJ. And at that time, I played that song, and it got stuck to his head. And he said, like, give me this song. I'll try to send it to Divine. And I was like, okay, nice. That would be sick. And he sent it to Divine. And actually, Divine replied in 2015. Oh, sorry, 2016. And he had replied that he'd like to work on it. He wanted some changes on it. But he got busy back then because he was busy with Sony at that time. They had a lot of releases planned up. So I could understand, of course, he's busy, so he wouldn't get time to respond again. So I didn't bother him much. So I asked Spin Doctor, is it okay if I send it to someone else? Or if you can suggest who I can send it to? So he got me connected with DJ Proof. And he used to DJ with Nazy back then. So he sent that track to Nazy and Pradeep. And Nazy reached out about that track, and that's how I came to know with Nazy, came in touch with Nazy, and he liked that track, and he told me that I like this track, but I want to work on something else first, because which I already have in mind. So he told me the idea about the track which he's working on, and he wanted something in the grime zone and all. So that's how Anede came in place.
Oh, uh-huh, I see.
So that's how Anede came in place. And when Anede came out in 2017, that was my first hip-hop track. And my first hip-hop track with Nazy, that was a really big deal for me. And it's shout out to like Spin Doctor and DJ Vinayak to be those DJs, like the work what DJs do, connect the music to the right people. And I'm like always thankful for them. So that was the first hip-hop track which happened. After that, I still had the email ID of Divine from the last time which I sent him the stuff, right? And Divine was a really nice guy, man. Like, whenever like I meet him, this is before Gully Gang. I'm talking about when Anede released. Whenever I would see him in a club in Rasta or somewhere else, if he's talking to someone, he'll come. I said hi to him. He'll invite me to his friends. He'll tell them this guy made Anede. And like, he's always like connecting. Like, he's really nice guy, man. Like, massive respect to him, like, that time I didn't even work for him or anything. I was just like a new random guy, so he was always like really nice. Like, he knew about the stuff I was doing, and around 2018, like after a year of Anede, I had released a trap song which was like a heavy bass music track, And I just I was just sending promos out, right? Like to everyone, like this track song is released. Would you like to check it out? You can download it here and everything like that. I was sending promo mails and I was going alphabetical order wise, like whoever's email ID I have. When I reached Vivian's name came in and I was like, I have his email ID, but will he even check this stuff out? Like, is it even his zone? Like, this is trap music or like dubstep music. I'm not sure if he would check it out also. And I sent it to him. I took that decision, that 1 second decision. So like, okay, let's see. You like, and I sent, as soon as I sent it, I forgot about it because I had a feeling that he won't reply. Sure. But 6 hours later, I get a DM on Instagram. Yoji sent me some beats and I was like, oh shit. And like, okay. And now I don't have beats because I've not been making hip hop for a year now. And now, so what I did was I asked him like, what kind of music are you listening to? What kind of beats are you listening to these days? And he sent me some stuff which he was listening to. And I played him, I then sent him back some stuff in 2-3 days. And that's how our talk started again. Like, we talked about music. And that's when we started working on Red Bull BC1 project, the Legends track. So technically, that was one of the first tracks which I started working with Divine. But it came out very later. Since then, like, he's an amazing guy. He has a very strong sense about making music. He has a very good knowledge about selecting sounds. He's had a very nice knowledge about... He's one of those guys who puts his team ahead before he goes ahead himself also. So I really like that feature, like a feature as in like the personality of him, like to be kind to others. And I mean, like, it's really like one of the most down-to-earth guys I've met in my life. And he inspired me a lot to like do more. Like whenever I send him something, he was like, yeah, this is sick. Or like, he'll give me feedback. And me and him have been always working on different, where whenever we work on something, it is very different than what we have done before. Yes. And it is very interesting for us. So I keep learning from him. And yeah, man, like he was the guy. Then he told me that he's starting up Gully Gang. And he invited me to be a part of it. And I was really honored. But at the same time, I was very confused because I was also doing this trap music thing, which I've been building for the last couple of years. And I was very confused about how do I balance stuff. But I had really nice like meeting with Chaitanya and the whole team. And that's when I like started, they started telling me the value of what I can provide, basically. Right. You need someone to tell you like what is your value out there. So Divine and Chaitanya and the whole team made me understand like what you can do with whatever knowledge you have, how you can do better. And not just stay in that same loop, because I was doing a lot of like hustle stuff back then. Like I was doing ghost production and stuff like that. And basically they helped me channel my knowledge about music and my skills about music into the right way and told me that you can make really valuable. Like basically they explained me what value is and out of your art. And that's been really helpful for me. Sick. And yeah, man, it's been a really good experience working with them. I learned new stuff. I learned new stuff about publishing splits and everything through them because they are very straightforward about it. And I actually came to know a lot about the whole thing through them.
Nice. That's sick, bro. Yeah. Thank you for sharing. That's so important. You know, this, the team is so important and the people around you, you know, the five people around you literally makes you who you are. So if those five people are strong, amazing people, then, you know, everything is good. That's amazing.
Like even with Nazy also, like Nazy has like helped me in the start. Like someone random guy messaging him, sending him a beat, and he actually checked it out and he believed. They believed. Right. That's the important part. When someone believes in you, it is very important for any artist like to have someone to believe what you can do. So after that,
when others believe in you. You should believe in yourself, definitely. When others believe in you, you should definitely believe in yourself. So that's true. That's awesome.
Someone asked, as a beginner in production beat, producing beat, what should one more focus on? Making beats regularly and uploading on YouTube or working hard on few ones, reaching out to artists and building connect. So I'd suggest, like for me, what worked out was like, I was working on a lot of songs like every day, but I didn't specifically release it, right? I used to make it for my own practice. I also used to do ghost production work where I had to do like reference based tracks. So I used to do that like one track in an hour or one track in 2 hours, because that that helped me increase my speed actually. And speed is very important when it comes to production. So why I say that is because whenever you have an idea, you have a thought in your brain, it gets tricky. Like people say that I'm not able to complete a song. People complain like I'm not able to like get ahead out of this. That's basically because of speed. Because speed is very important while you're working on music. Because if you know what how to execute what you have in your brain, you've already done that. Like once I have my idea, I know how to like make it sound right. So if I can do that in like 15 minutes rather than like spending 1 hour to find that specific sound and find that process to like, so speed is very important. Like, because once you have a good speed, you have, you get small inspiration, small ideas you already laid down and it's already out there. So you make space for new ideas to come in. Sometimes what happens, like people have one idea and they'll think about it. Oh, this will sound really good with that. Oh, but should I do this? Should I do that? Something like that. Just do it. Just do whatever you have in head, just put it in the project. And then you can do whatever you want, like make a duplicate of it and try that, experiment that.
Right.
So things of speed is very important. I got that speed thing when I was doing the ghost production work for like, I used to produce like 3-4 tracks a day for these ghost production tracks. It's really very minimal pay kind of a job. And that was helping me like pay off my extra, like I like to eat a lot. So like I used to go out when I was in Pune. In my PG, we used to get like monthly expenses and all. But over that, if I wanted to go out, have some really good food and have a good time, so I'd use that money, and I used that money to buy my monitors and my music gear. So
that's sick.
But that really helped me increase my speed.
Right, you know what I'm learning. One of the biggest keys, major keys, you know, that I learned from you today is that, you know, be quick with your decisions, you know, like make fast decisions and just keep going, keep moving. Because you said, you mentioned like two stories where it was like a split second decision that made you, you know, that changed the story. And then even this, it's like
basically, I'd say rather than like a quick decision, it's more about not overthinking it. Results, right? Sometimes I still do it. I overthink a lot, but that those were like two good instances of my life that I didn't overthink a lot. So I think so. I should get back to that more. But yeah, exactly whatever you said was definitely right.
Nice. I love that, man. That's amazing. I'm also going to try to remember that, you know, in my own life and stuff. So that's awesome. Thank you for sharing. I wanted to share the last segment with you, man. I know we're running, 1 hour, 22 minutes, but just this last segment. Don't be sorry. I love this. I don't care. So here's the last segment. Playlist placement. So playlist placement, this is a segment where we ask you, the guest, to suggest us some songs. What are you listening to right now? You know, what's on your playlist right now? Because, you know, we put together a lot of playlists on Spotify and Apple Music and elsewhere. And we listen to music all day, every day. So in this segment, I love to hear from you. What are you listening to? What is your suggestion for us to listen to?
Like, is it supposed to be like very hip hop?
Any genre, whatever you're listening to, you know, this is for the audience, you know, to go check out.
Okay. Stuff like that. So I'll actually pull up my playlist right now. I'll see like what is the latest. I've been listening to a lot of like old Mexican songs, like not Mexican, songs, but like you've heard Suavemente.
Sorry, you were breaking away. Can you say that again?
Yeah. So, can you hear me now?
Yeah.
So I'm listening to a lot of like old, like Spanish songs, Suavemente, Elvis, by Elvis, like that kind of song. And,
nice.
Also, I mean, like I my playlist is really weird.
No, that's how musicians' playlist should be, right?
I really like. I mean, like I listen to a lot of A.R. Rahman also sometimes because it puts you in a zone. So like, I if you want me to name specific songs, let me just.
Anything, you can name songs, artists, anything.
I'll just see what I recently played songs like.
By the way, where do you listen to your music mostly?
On Spotify and YouTube. Nice. And Apple Music, of course. But I guess Spotify more because my desktop also has the app. So, like, I can just play it here and I can hear it on my speakers. So, it gets easier to, like, trigger it.
True.
Of course, like, one track I'd like to put in, Cash Though by Akash and MC Altaf. You had to put that. You guys should check that out. I've been listening to even Shruti Hassan put a really new, a nice track, Edge. It is a very different zone. I've been listening to that. How many tracks do you want? Like, I can
anything, anything, bro. It's up to you.
I've been listening to, of course, the new DJ Khaled drops also, Popstar and Grease.
Yeah. Those are fun. Yeah.
And
that's sick.
And Do Guna by Seedhe Mauth as well. It's also a really tight track. I really like that. Other than that, I listen to a lot of pop stuff like Dua Lipa, Carly Rae Jepsen. The pop stuff which is more inspired by 80s sound. So that's been really up my top of my playlist right now.
Nice. That's sick. That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing. I love that. And you recently released a production of a song called Wonder, right? Yeah, viewers, go check that out. One of his latest releases.
So that's kind of a different zone which I'm stepping into. Like, I always wanted to do it. I always had been doing it, but finally I've put it out through Red Bull premieres. It came out and it really helped us because I really didn't know how else I would have put it out because I was just thinking how the people will get it. Like, will they accept it? But the response has been really nice. I'm really happy that people are open to new sounds and everything like that. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, that's awesome, bro. Well, thank you so much for joining today, bro. You know, we're at the last part of the show. Hell yeah, man. Is there any one little thing that you want to leave for the audience, like any message or anything, any advice or anything that you want to say, your last message before you leave today?
I'll just say to any of the producers out here, just producers or anyone, just stay curious. That helps a lot. Taking cues has been the way of life for me. I'm listening to anyone else's or anything, I just ask, like, how did they do it? Like, that's the question. And then, how did you do that? How did you do this? How did you do that? And you just start, do that till you find one answer. And then, in that process, you have learned so many things. And you can just, like, use it in your way. And the way you figure out a way to do something is going to be way different than someone else. And also, don't, I'll say, whenever, if you're new to this field, if you're starting off as a producer, I'll say one more important thing. Don't expect, early results. Like, don't run behind, like, results ASAP. Things take time. It will take time. And just stay focused on why you're doing it at the first place. Like, what's the reason you're doing music? You're enjoying it. You're creating something. And it will be really nice. Things will happen when the time is right. And patience is very important. Everything happens for a reason in this field. You have to be innovative. Just keep doing new things. And keep inspiring each other. Like, have a community of friends who inspire each other. So, yeah, that's pretty much I'd like to say.
Hell yeah. That's real good knowledge bombs, man. You know, what you just said makes so much sense. Make your community, stay curious, remember the why. Remember why you do this. So that's a really amazing, man. Thank you so much. You know, this show, I just want to say, this show is brought to you by Applause over here. You guys see a little QR code. Applause is a way to monetize your live events, live shows. Instagram, Facebook, doesn't matter where it is live, but Applause gets it there. So if you're an artist, if you're somebody doing live shows, check out Applause. But anyways, thank you so much, Karan. I appreciate you so much, bro. Like, the first time I met you, I was like hooked just because, like, you're such a nice guy. You know, the first day when I met you, my first impression was
likewise.
Wow, I was like, this guy's super nice, man. I love that.
I met, bro. I really like your vibe, the way, like, you talk about music with your passion towards it, and it really inspired me also. Like, when I met you for the first time, that's what we share, right? That's what we share, the love for music. Like, we do it passionately, and it just matches the frequency, man. Like, so shout out to you, shout out the whole DC hip hop team. And this is a like really, really next level initiative which you're doing with Unfiltered. And I'm looking forward to more of these.
Man, thank you so much, bro.
Like, I had a really good time being here, man. Thanks for all the questions. Yeah. Thanks to all the guys who tuned in.
Yes. Me too, man. I learned a lot of new shit too, bro. Thank you so much, man. Thank you to you and Gully Gang and everybody else, man. Thank you all. And for the viewers, man, thank you for watching and the questions. I'll see you guys next week with Ink. Peace. Ooh.